You know, Brother John Taylor over here, he's got a testimony he wants to share with you. I knew John's dad for quite a few years, and he was quite an impressive man, I tell you. Ray Taylor, he was, you know, just full of the joy of the Lord, and every day enjoyed God's guidance and wisdom, and he was with us for quite a few years, and we just appreciate him so much. But he's gone on to be with the Lord, so he's up there praying for me now. And I appreciate that too, Ray. Do a good job up there, Ray. Thank you.
John. Right. Yes, it's good to be here with you guys tonight. I started coming to the Bible study here just back in right after September of 01. And, of course, a lot of people repented around that time. And the Lord impressed upon me then that this is the place that I was supposed to be. And I kind of fell away for a few years, and the Lord pulled me away for a few years, and then allowed me to repent and come back here recently. So I'm very glad to be here. I've got several testimonies. One's more of a testimony. The other's just kind of, you know, testimonies of how the Lord, you know, ordains the steps in your day and works all things out for good. I had a brother here at the Bible study ask me to do some work for he and his landlord grinding stumps. I have a stump grinder that I bought after Hurricane Ivan, and so I... Too close. Okay. Just got the word that I was too close with the mic. I'm sorry, guys. On the way out to this job, I was listening to an old Unleavened Bread Bible study and had talking about faith building. And Bob Icardi here in the study was sharing his testimony about how he cursed the anthills in his yard. And the next day would go and put his hand right in the middle of them and, you know, pull them up. And, you know, that's faith right there. And they'd be dead. You know, he even showed his son and his friends that, you know, and that was a great testimony. So anyway, I was out there, and, you know, I'd asked the Lord to just ordain all the steps of the day and direct me, and I knew that, you know, it's kind of interesting when something happens to you. A lot of times you know that it's the Lord doing it. He's doing everything, but sometimes things stand out to you. So I had been grinding these stumps in a line down at the property line, and I was on this real, real dead one, and I went through it, and I looked down, and there was about a 2-foot snake in the hole. I haven't run a grinder in a year or so, but you hardly ever see snakes, especially hit them with a stump grinder, and you know, it would be real easy just to have it disintegrate and torn into pieces and just lost in the mulch and the dirt, you know. So the fact that the Lord stopped me in time to catch the thing and was definitely ordained. So I couldn't kill the thing. You know, I really didn't want to stop. I kind of wanted to keep grinding, but I remember Bill Rowe here at the Bible study impressed upon me one day that we're, you know, our Heavenly Father cares for his creatures, his creation, and I was convicted that I certainly couldn't just keep grinding and kill the thing. So he was in a lot of pain. He was wrapping himself around some roots down the hole, you know, real, real tight. And I didn't want to touch him. I don't really like snakes, even though he didn't look poisonous. So I went and got some sticks, and I moved him out of the way, and I laid him down about 20 or 30 feet away. When I laid him down, you know, the Lord said, well, you know, I want you to pray for this snake. That's what he impressed me with anyway, and so I commanded his belly to be sealed up. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you what happened to him. The snake had a huge laceration about halfway down his belly, cut him about in two. You know, the skin was overlapped, and his innards were starting to hang out, and he was in a lot of pain, you know, wrapping up real tight around things. So I laid him down, and I prayed for him, I commanded his belly to be healed, and thanked the Lord for it, and went back to work. Well, about 10 minutes later, I went back to check on him, and he was gone. He had slithered off. But then Satan kind of crept in and said, well, you don't know what happened to that snake. You know, a bird could have got him, or an owl, or a cat, or something else, you know, and tried to steal it from me. Try to steal the testimony from me. But then a little bit later I mentioned the occurrence to a fellow I was actually doing the work for, and his response was, well, you know, you can do that with snakes. They're real resilient. You can gash them up pretty good and they'll just crawl off. And so I kind of felt like the testimony and the miracle was kind of stolen from me, and so I was kind of down, kind of depressed a little bit. But anyway, I went back to finish the job. And the Lord showed me, during all this that, you know, unless you're raising somebody from the dead, there's a way to, you know, rationalize away almost any miracle. But I think that's part of what the Lord wants us to learn from it. You know, we're supposed to believe, you know, put our faith in Him and not the other possibilities. So So I learned that from him, and I was thankful for that. I almost finished the job, and then a tire fell off the machine. I only had one or two stumps left. The tire fell off, and I called, you know, the brother here from the Bible study and let him know, and he said, well, you know, me and the landlord will fix it in the morning, and you just come back tomorrow when you're able to and then finish the job. So I got back there the next day to finish the job, and I started working. I had these two stumps left to do, but then the landlord left me a little note. I left one stump along this property line for him to use to, you know, put a come-along on and pull things with. And so he left me a note asking me to go ahead and grind that stump. And so when I finished the two that were at the end of the line, I went back and ground the stump he had asked me to grind. And I was almost through with it. And the stump grinder hit a snake, threw it up in the air, and it landed right at my feet. And it was the exact same snake that I hit the day before. So I looked out at this thing, and he's got the same gash, perfectly healed up, just like a plastic surgeon did it, you know, hit it with a laser and just healed it as perfectly as possible. But this poor snake, he had to go through a lot for the Lord to teach me something. He lost about 3 inches of his tail, and then he had a bigger gash the day before, a few inches up from where he lost his tail. And he was barely moving. I mean, I used a stick to pick him up this time and move him further away. And I laid him down again, and he was barely moving, and I thought surely he would die. But then, you know, I knew that he wouldn't because my faith was in the Lord, and I prayed for him again. And this time I commanded him to go find a home somewhere else.
Amen.
So I went back to grind the stump again and finished up that job and went back to check on the snake again, and sure enough, he was gone. So what the Lord had to do there to make that happen, I mean, number one, you know, the snake didn't go into that stump where I hit him the second day right away, because I was grinding that machine. There was a machine shaking the ground and putting out 100-something decibels, you know, and he had to crawl off somewhere else. And then later that night, before I returned the next day, go into that stump. And then the landlord's wife, the Lord put in her to have him go ahead and grind that stump too. Otherwise, I wouldn't have grounded it, and that's where the snake was, and I never would have hit it, and the Lord never would have had the opportunity to show me what he did. I've got stuff written down here. I don't want to miss anything. Okay, no, that's it. So I was real thankful the Lord had allowed me to exercise my faith that way, and of course he blessed it, and I hope that little snake does better than he did in the last couple of days. He's had a hard run. Also, I mean, when I this is the second testimony I have here tonight. When I first started coming back to the Bible study, and the Lord allowed me to repent and come back, it's kind of a slow process. It feels like a slow process. It feels like it's going to take forever, but it never does. It always moves faster than you expect it to. But I thought the Lord had been convicting me to write to several people to ask for forgiveness, because I've been reading in Matthew, you know, chapter 5, 23 and 24, which says if you're there to present your altar before the Lord and you remember your brother has something against you, that you should go and first be reconciled to your brother. So I wasn't sure, though. I mean, I thought he wanted me to, but you got to be pretty humble to do that, and I wasn't real comfortable with the idea at first. So I asked the Lord to confirm to me if that's what he wanted me to do one night. So I opened my Bible and put my finger down, and I didn't mark the verse, but to paraphrase it, it said, "Surely I told you to do this thing a long time ago. Now go and do it." So I started that night. I sat down and started typing. A few days later, I was working on my second letter, and I had written a portion of one letter that I thought it might be finished, but I wasn't sure, and I wanted to ask the Lord. You know, in the first letter, I was writing to some family members who really don't know the Lord, and so I included some. You know, they were brought up, I think, in the Methodist Church, and I included some things to explain to them about the dangers of the unconditional eternal security doctrine, as well as how close we were to the tribulation and what that meant. And I wasn't sure if I should do that with this. This is another family member, and most of my family believe in unconditional eternal security and a pre-trib rapture. So I asked the Lord for an answer. Lord, do I need to include anything else, or can I just leave it with "please forgive me"? And in a few short paragraphs. So I again opened my Bible, and I put my finger down right on Obadiah 1 and 15. And it said, "For the day of the Lord draws near on all the nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your dealing will return on your own head." So I thought for a minute and said, "Well, Lord, I certainly want all the warnings and chances you could possibly give me coming up in the tribulation, so I'm going to give them out right here as fast as I can." And I went ahead and included what I thought he was telling me to include in that, and I pray that it has an effect on him. Last one here, or second to last one. The third letter the Lord was impressing me to write, to ask for forgiveness, I didn't know how to contact this woman. I had met her through a family member, and we had had a conversation, and I had offended her, even though I think I was pretty much right doctrinally. What I said hurt her, and it wasn't an appropriate thing for me to say, but I didn't know how to reach this woman. And so there's kind of a story behind this one. One of the days I was out running the stump grinder, I have an MP3 player in my truck where I listen to the old Bible study audio files, you know, when I'm driving. And I usually almost always remember to push pause and stop it where I left off. And this is another day, of course, where I ask the Lord to direct my every step. And I forgot to one day. So it ran for several hours. And I got back in the car and looked at it, and it was still going. I said, well, Lord, you're putting it there for a reason. You're trying to show me something. And so I stopped it when I got in the car to find it. Had to step out for a few more minutes and got back in the truck to drive off and started it right there where it left off. I mean, I have 70 or 80 something, you know, files, so it's hours and hours worth. Shortly after I restarted it, I heard a testimony that it was just David reading the testimony, I think. I don't know if it was someone from here or someone he knew, but it was about a missionary in Africa. And they had lost a mother of a newborn baby and needed a water bottle. And I don't know if you remember the testimony, but the Lord actually sent 5 months before this little girl prayed for a water bottle and a little baby doll for this newborn baby and her older sister. She prayed for that very day, and the package came that day with those exact things in it. So it was a great testimony. And I said, people could stand to listen to that.
Came from America, too.
Did it?
Okay. Yeah, so the Lord had to start it out way ahead of time.
Right, exactly right. The package was actually sent 5 months before it arrived. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the point that I remember David made was that, you know, the Lord starts working before we do. You know, there's no need to limit him with time. So I went in and said, well, everyone could stand to listen to this. So I pulled up my software and found out the teaching that it came from, and I cut it and pasted it just to include that testimony, and I went to my email list, and I sent it out to everyone on my email list. But for some reason, when I went to my actual contact list, it wasn't including all the emails that I knew, the addresses that I knew were supposed to be saved in there. So I went to a new message, and I typed in the letter A, and I pulled up everything that started with A, and I chose who I wanted to send to, and then B, and then C, and then D, all the way down. And when I got to a certain letter, it pulled up this lady's email address that I didn't even know I had. You know, the third person that I thought the Lord was asking me or telling me to, you know, to communicate with and ask for forgiveness from. So it was just really neat. I sat there and thought about everything that he had to do to get me to that point where I was able to contact this person and be obedient. So anyway, I was. It's been a really good week. I've been real thankful and just lots of time to thank and praise the Lord. And the last one is I've been enrolled in college using my money from the GI Bill, and they had told me I was in a business management program for a while, or still am really, and I didn't even give any thought to the sequence or the order of my classes. But if you're not in an actual, you can't be in a regular associate's program and get the Pell Grants, you know, from the government. So I was in the business management program for that reason. And I just realized the other day that just the way the order of my classes fall, I'm able to, after this block, you know, ditch the next two blocks and not take them and go ahead and get an associate's, a regular AA degree and move on to something else. So I was happy about that. Anyway, I think that's it, and I think we're ready to get back to something else. Bless you.